We didn't really talk through what our intro's gonna be. Oh, well, here we go.
Welcome to Picnic Climbers, a podcast for those who love getting outside,
going on epic adventures,
or chill ones,
and don't take themselves too seriously. Join us, Nate and Mo,
as we share our escapades into the great outdoors.
And don't forget the beer, eh?
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Picnic Climbers. Da-da-da-da! Hello, Nathan.
Hello, Monica.
He is also here. He's grinning at me.
I told her before this, I told her you got to be a little bit more excited because the last few times she's introed, she's been a little bit more down on the energy
I've
levels.
I've not been down on the energy levels. I've just been talking slowly because the feedback is that I talk too fast.
Okay, whatever you say.
I want people to understand
fair enough
what podcast they're listening to.
Okay.
And you are, in fact, listening to The Picnic Climbers.
Okay.
How are we doing, Nathan?
we're doing really well. We're doing really well. We had a wonderful couple of weeks off for Easter. We got away, did some trips, didn't we?
We did.
To go away.
So we will talk about maybe next week.
Next week, I think. And yeah, spring is here. Although it's not quite as warm as we were hoping it would be.
No. Oh, well. Such is life in the UK for all you Canadians out there. It rains a lot here. Seasons mean nothing.
No, you could have any weather in any season, I feel like.
Yeah.
But there we are.
Oh, well. On to more exciting things.
More exciting things. So
Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
I was going to say, what are we talking about today?
Oh, I was going to introduce two people to the world, and we are staring at their beautiful faces right now. We are interviewing our two friends, Dan and Mutsa.
Hey. Hey.
Woo! Hey. Come on!
Hey.
Dan and Mutsa.
You guys got the most awkward intro ever. Sorry about that. Yeah, these two. What do we want to say about these two before we ask them all sorts of questions?
Well, Dan and Mutsa have become good friends of ours. They are so inspiring in many ways, but primarily as artists and musicians, I think, they have an amazing way of capturing the outdoors in, I think, such a picture-perfect, idyllic way, kind of showing off the beauty of it in whether it's photos, whether it's in art, whether it's in building projects, as I'm sure we'll hear about, build little construction projects, or music, songwriting. I think that they capture so much about what the essence is, about, you know, what it is to kind of adventure outdoors.
And they picnic really well.
They do picnic very well.
Mm, we're going to ask them about that. Yeah, so pretty much they make the outdoors look good, and they look good in the outdoors. Which is, I feel like, right goes right along with the old ethos that we're promoting here. So,
yeah, it is. So, Dan and Mutsa, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
Synchronized response.
Thank you. Yeah, thank we're you. Happy that spring is on its way and that the sun is shining when it wants to, when it chooses to. It is shining, and that makes us very happy because we can go out and enjoy the outdoors a bit more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you guys want to just give us like a very quick synopsis of like who you are, what like day job, boring, get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
It's not boring at all. Sure.
No, actually. <it's>
boring.
We'll try not to bore you. Yes, I'm Dan. My day job, as it were, is I teach music to across primary schools in a way that's kind of different. So I'm getting students into bands and essentially teaching five instruments all at the same time. So you can imagine the stress. It's quite stressful at times, but it's also very rewarding because I get to see their musical growth. So yeah, that's what I do, awesome. Music teacher.
I am Mutsa, hello. And I spend my days making things from clay. Lockdown last year, I lost my job like a week before lockdown started. Oof. And I decided to start making myself clay earrings. I don't know why. Like, I don't. I think I saw some on Pinterest and I was like, oh, I'm sad right now. I kind of want to make myself some earrings, spice up my life. And I started like posting them on Insta stories. And some of my friends were like, oh my gosh, I would actually buy those. You should start selling them on Instagram. So I did, and I was cringing so hard, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awkward, but I'll do it for like a month and then I'll shut it down. But it has grown so, so much, like more than I expected it to, and it's pretty much become almost kind of a full-time thing. And I'm just so happy about it. It's definitely the best thing that's come out of lockdown for sure.
Amazing.
I feel like if it wasn't for lockdown, I probably wouldn't have just gone out and started a business, even though it's something I would have wanted to do, probably wouldn't have done it. But so glad I did, because I think we've got lots of big dreams now for business.
Yeah. Dreaming big.
That's really exciting. It's been so cool seeing it grow much. I have to say, from kind of that first Instagram post.
Yeah. So if you would like to buy a pair of Mutz's earrings, check her out at The Kindred Workshop. She's on Instagram.
Come on.
And they're beautiful. I myself have a few pairs. I'm trying to convince Nathan that he needs a pair.
Mm-hmm.
He's just still choosing.
I could do like, Nathan, do you have a stretcher? Because maybe I should branch out.
Monica, he's not allowed.
If it's supporting a small business,
No.
Okay, I don't. For the sake of our friendship, I feel like maybe.
Maybe not.
She does do clip-on earrings, which I've tried on, and it looked all right, didn't it?
No comment.
They look okay to a certain size, but it has to go with such a very specific look. They don't translate to
anything.
You're
talking anything. About spaces now, not Mutz's earrings.
Yeah. Mutz's earrings are lovely. Oh my goodness, we've digressed. Back to the point, Mutz is wonderful and creative, and her products are beautiful and light and pretty, and she's got so many options. Buy those. Don't listen to the boys. Moving on.
I think just to start out with, guys, let's hear about some of the things that you love to do outdoors. Like, if you have a weekend and you know you're going up out somewhere, what are you going to prioritize? What do you want to do?
Let's pretend it's perfect weather.
Mm. Oh, cool. Okay.
Great question.
We don't really tend to go out in the rain anyway. Like, we're not that hardcore.
It's raining. I guess we'll just stay indoors.
A lot of it's shaped by what we can do within lockdown restrictions.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely think in the last year that's really got us going on walks and walks and walks.
A lot of walks.
I think definitely we like being by the woods.
Yeah. And we like to, like, when lockdown restrictions ease a bit more, we often, like, try and search out different... We, like, get up Google Maps and we'll search for, like, a patch of green and be like, where's a bit of woodland that we've not been to yet?
Cool.
And just, kind of wing it and go there. Yeah. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes not so great. We get there and we're like, oh, not as good as it looked on Google Images.
There have been good times and bad times with that.
But we love a walk, and I feel like our walks always have to feature a coffee of some sort.
A coffee, and preferably a large body of water. Those are the three, I think, that we try and tick the boxes of.
That's a pretty good combo.
Woods, water, and coffee.
Yes. That is the dream. Yeah.
To clarify, you make your own coffee. You're not grabbing a coffee.
Especially since coffee shops closed within lockdown. That's kind of forced us in that direction.
Yeah.
And if there are no good coffee shops in, like, where we are, because Wales, we love Wales, but they're not always smashing it on the coffee scene.
Not every part of Wales. No. It depends where you go.
No offence. Nate.
No, that's okay. I think kind of like the really kind of trendy hipster coffee shops haven't quite made it to all parts of Wales yet.
No.
It's a little bit rural.
But it makes up for it with beautiful scenery, doesn't it?
It does make up for it with beautiful scenery. But anyway, guys, what is the best outdoor coffee? How do you make the best outdoor coffee?
Ooh. That's a good question. I think we would either take a hobtop espresso maker or an AeroPress.
AeroPress is probably easier.
I would definitely prefer the AeroPress. It's lighter and then you can kind of put the coffee in already, which we do with hobtop anyway. But it's lighter, and then just boil some water on a... We've got a little stove.
So to backtrack, we'll grind the beans at home and then like take them in like a little lunchbox. So we've got coffee grounds with us.
Yeah.
You can take some hot water in a flask so that it's there ready to go if you want to do it like instantly. Yeah. Or what else do you do?
Or get a little pocket rocket and boil some water and have it, straight into the AeroPress, and you got a coffee, and it's always very nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's our go-to. Mm. It's kind of, again, a bit of a must for the outdoors sometimes, just taking coffee.
Wakes you up, especially if you're going
early. The AeroPress just makes such good coffee as well, doesn't it? And it's so simple and easy to use.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it from looking at it, just like this kind of plastic tube.
No, it's a great invention. I owe them a lot.
What's the best location that you made your own cup of coffee outside in? Best view?
Oh,
most cozy.
Are you thinking of the same place?
I think so, where we had breakfast.
Yes.
And coffee.
So last summer we went to this reservoir in Powys. It's Clin something, but I forgot what it's called.
Yeah,
somewhere in Powys, one of the Clins.
Beautiful. And we sat there for breakfast and made a coffee. Yeah.
We were kind of a bit high up, kind of like looking over this massive reservoir and lovely. There's big pine trees everywhere and the sun was shining.
Yeah.
It was a very quiet day, like hardly anyone was there, which always makes for a great, great date, I feel. When you feel like you're the only people there, that was definitely one of my favourite coffees. For sure.
Yeah, yeah, me too, I think. It's I don't know, underrated. I want to say Wales is underrated. Wales is great, yeah, but
I think
it
Wales is underrated. This is what I've always said.
Yeah,
as a Canadian, I didn't know Wales existed as a country. Mm. We talk a lot about England, Scotland, and Ireland. I thought Nathan was kidding when he said he was from Wales. I was like, don't be silly, you're from England. Obviously. Yeah. I didn't understand. I do now. I love Wales.
Yeah.
I feel like because we live in the Midlands, it's kind of our like closest go-to beautiful place.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So many beautiful places down south. But when it's a four-hour drive away, we're like, nah, I'll just go to Wales.
Yeah. So you say, when we go on holiday to Wales, sometimes we hear more Brummie accents than...
depends where you go.
Than Welsh accents.
Depends where you go.
But yes, it does. Finding
parts of Wales, it's very...
A particular beach that's like the most direct route to the city is definitely...
Oh, yeah.
Very Midlands-focused.
Okay, so let's backtrack a bit. Tell us about your relationship to the outdoors, I guess, throughout your life. Were you raised appreciating nature, like, as kids? Or is it something that you guys discovered together or as adults?
Go. Mm. That's a good question.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I appreciate the outdoors, but it was always quite sort of tame, I think. like, I wouldn't go on many camping trips, definitely not wild camping. It would just sort of be campsites, if anything, and it never had that
which
sort of like...
in England, like campsites compared to like maybe other places isn't like the most inspiring.
Not
just a field,
dreamiest.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mostly with some facilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, yeah, you know, nice. It has kind of nostalgia attached to it, you know, heating up spag bol that someone made before. but I think, yeah, that's sort of grown and grown. As I've got older, anyway.
For me, so I was born in Zimbabwe, and me and my parents lived in the city, but a lot of my family lived in like the rural parts of Zimbabwe, which when we'd go out and visit, it's completely off grid. People live in round houses, and communities just completely based around the fire pit. And I don't think I appreciated it as, I mean, I moved from Zimbabwe to England when I was five, so there's only so much a five-year-old can appreciate. But we had visited back like quite a few times since, and every time I'd gone back, I appreciated it more and more. But it's only since I've gotten older that I've realized how cool that is. I feel like when I visited when I was like 11 or 13, I'd be like, oh, there's no like Wi-Fi, there's no like, this sucks, this is so boring. Whereas now I'm like, oh my gosh, I long to like go back, be around the fire, talk to family, and be completely disconnected from Wi-Fi and stuff like that. It's basically their lifestyle is basically kind of like just camping, really, constantly. And they're so connected. They've got, where my grandma used to live, she had cows and chickens and goats, and like just was so connected to her food sources and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's got a lot of nostalgia in it for me, and I definitely appreciate it way more now than I used to.
Amazing. So what I guess most of the stories that we've heard about you guys in the outdoors and why we thought, oh man, it'd be fun to interview you guys, is first of all, you make the outdoors just look so good, as we've already talked about, but also you guys really like wove nature into your dating life and I guess your romance and your story, didn't you? So I guess we can ask you about that in stages. So let's start with dating. How did you guys like allow the outdoors, I guess, to shape your dating life? And interpret that question as widely and loosely as you like.
Yeah.
Well, we're both of our parents, and where we used to live was Shropshire. And so that's kind of a little bit hilly, very farmy. but the town that we lived in was just not, like, we just didn't love it. It's just kind of boring. Basic town centre, that kind of vibe. And that didn't really inspire us for, like, beautiful dates.
Mm.
So our only other option really was just to get out into, like, Shropshire farmland and forests and hills and that kind of vibe.
Drive a little further.
Yeah.
Find somewhere slightly more wild. Yeah, I think I'd say the same thing. We did lots of walks together.
Yeah, lots of walking.
Certainly we were dating and engaged, and especially in lockdown again.
Which walking. Is more like marriage, but
yeah that's skipping a chapter.
Whoa, you're getting too ahead of yourself. We do a lot of walks and talks. Like, I feel like for some reason we just have really, like, I don't want to say better, but just really good conversations when we're just out on a really, really long walk.
Yeah, I was going to say the outdoors is a sort of space to feel more connected because there's more space. You're slightly more connected with nature and it opens up more sort of like questions and bigger conversations. And we found that a very connecting experience, being outside more in the wild a bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think nature, like... There has been, I shouldn't say this unless I can source them, but psychological studies showing as very similar things to what you're saying of just how people, like nature, people process differently than when they have got noises and structure and man-made stuff all around. And it's not surprising really that you just think a different way because it's more still and you can focus on each other. That's really cute. We found that in our dating relationship, didn't we?
Yeah, we absolutely did. And yeah, I think getting away from, not necessarily like distractions, not like distractions in that there's not things to look at when you're out, like you say, somewhere wild, Dan. But I think just getting a little bit, being purposeful and I suppose going somewhere and having kind of that experience looking at something new together, I think is really... I don't know, there's about like journeying together, like going somewhere together as well, I think there's something to that, I suppose. But so for you guys, it sounds kind of like it started out almost out of a bit of a necessity. Like that was kind of you almost felt like the only option really to you. And then I suppose out of that, you kind of just grew this sort of joined love of it, whether it's, I guess, just wrapped up in your own kind of story, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd definitely say that. It's, again, a kind of like necessity now to sort of, if we want to have fun, then it's got to
in
involve...
In lockdown.
Especially in lockdown, it's got to involve the outdoors.
Yeah, and I think the love of it has always been kind of in us before we even met. It's something we connected over as friends. We both watched, separately before we knew each other, we both went to cinema and watched Walter Mitty, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Which I feel like we've talked to you guys before about that, so good. And it just kind of came up when we first met and we both like had this really extreme passion and love for that film.
Connected over it instantly, didn't we?
It was that sense... Oh, you go.
No, I was just going to repeat what you're saying, basically. Yeah, it was just the idea of... Being out into the wild and kind of released into adventure and something so much bigger than us.
Maybe a bit of escapism in there too, like escaping from the mundane. Sure.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack as well is something that we majorly bonded over.
Massively. That's why I think we could say the outdoors is a big inspiration to be creative, to be sort of like...
With music, yeah.
Yeah, with music.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was very bonding.
Okay, so tell us more about the creative. We'll take a break from the romance side. Tell us more about the creative bit, because you guys are both artists and makers in a variety of ways. We've talked a little bit about Mitza's current crafts, but how did you guys work nature into, I guess, the early stages of your relationship? I've seen many photos of creations that have resulted from the outdoors. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've always liked the idea of taking the kind of raw materials of outside and bringing them inside in a way that is, you know, presented to make your home look nice. Like I've made a couple of lamps out of just sort of like wood that I found.
Which makes him very annoying to go on a walk with because he's just like searching for logs. Like you've got an obsession. Like even if we're driving on like a country lane, Dan will drive really slowly and be like looking out of the window. I'm like, eyes on the road.
Eyes on the road.
Eyes on the road.
It's not good, really. Amazing.
And it's no better when he's in the cities, is it? Because you've told us about how he looks out for pallets.
Which was his obsession in lockdown. He would literally go knocking on people's doors when he'd see a pallet like in their skip or in their front garden.
Yeah, that's true. You could say that the pallet is the kind of city,
city dweller.
Urban version. And, actually,
it's just
in
free
lockdown,
materials, isn't it?
Exactly. It's free. I acquired a few in lockdown and then made some seating area for our garden. Mm. And even a pallet bar in the back garden,
which is hilarious because we've not been able to have any parties yet. But as soon as we can,
the extent to which it's been used.
I always think about that. You guys have so much seating and a bar. And
I know.
Two of you rocking out in the back garden.
It's just the neighborhood cats love it. They've been benefiting from
it. It's just a cat
so
house,
much.
Literally. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But the extent to which I've used it, you've taken a picture of me opening a drink behind it. That's about
by
it.
By yourself. In terms of stuff you've made, like, and how it's, like, been part of our relationship, I remember we were just friends, and it was kind of in that stage where it's like, oh, does Dan like me? Do I like Dan? I don't know. You made me this, like, sign out of a bit of wood that had a Bible verse on it, classic. You did, like, a calligraphy. What was it? Surely your goodness and mercy.
And
he gave me that. I was home over summer and about to go back to uni, and he kind of gave me that as, like, a going back to uni present.
Wooing technique.
It worked.
Yeah. That was the first thing I made out of pallets, I think, you know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I feel honoured.
Yeah, just a little sign thing. That's become a sort of, like, pallets have now become a dangerous thing to me.
He's not allowed to collect anymore.
Yeah. Obviously, you don't find pallets sort of, like, out in the wild. So, yeah, I love, again, making some lamps I've made out of wood.
Tell me about these lamps. How does this work?
I feel like you have to clarify this more because when you say a lamp, well, like a lot of lamps are made out of wood, but you can't really tell what they are anymore and they're painted over. Whereas the lamps that you guys have looks like a tree in your house with a light bulb hanging off.
It literally is just that.
It is just that with a sort of like, with a lamp fittings and a bulb screwed into it, which makes it very easy to make in some ways, but... it just has a feel of like nature in your house, and it's
so you,
very
like
fun.
Collect the log. Do you strip it down?
Yeah, maybe.
But I guess the branch.
There was a log for one. There was a branch that we just stripped the bark off and kind of like treated a little bit so it wouldn't rot or anything.
And then you like put it into a tree stump as like the base of it.
Yeah, and then just kind of like drape. A lamp fitting with a cable coming out.
There's a website. What's it called? Lamps.com?
There's probably...
Lampfittings.com?
I don't actually know where I got the fittings for.
Lampfittings, something like that, where you could just buy the general fittings and buy like really nice vintagey bulbs.
Yeah, they did the hard work, basically. but that goes, into lamp and instant lamp.
Which means like all of your guys' pieces are so unique because...
True. Tells a story.
Well, because you made them.
Yeah, I do love that about them. I feel like when people come to our house for the first time, we end up giving them like a really annoying tour, and I'm like, "There's that lamp that Dan made. This is the coffee table that Dan made." Yeah. Just showing off your creations.
It's way too long, really.
Can't wait to have that tour.
Yes. The lamp tour.
The lamp tour. Although I do think that I have like 11 photos on my phone.
You're good to go.
You are fine. Yeah.
So that's sort of some of the creative, I guess, the things that you've made, Dan, like in terms of kind of some of these DIY projects and things. How about like if we think about your, Mutza, maybe just come back to your earrings for a moment. I mean, where's the inspiration for your earrings come from? I mean, your designs, is that in any way inspired by the things that you see in nature, or do those come from other somewhere else?
Oh, a kind of a bit of everywhere. I think sometimes my process is literally just sitting there with a lump of clay and being like, okay, what new shape can I do that I've like not seen before? Mm. But in terms of like even just the things I wear and like how I decorate our house, I think I'm really inspired by natural colors. I'm always specifically drawn towards like autumnal colors, all the like browns and mustards and greens. But I think, yeah, in terms of colors, I'm definitely inspired by natural colors. Which is why I hardly ever have any like very blue earrings. I don't know if anyone's noticed that. But like, I feel like blue, every time I try and mix a really nice blue, I'm like, oh, something just feels wrong. It just feels very unnatural, which I think is quite funny.
But the sky and the sea.
True. Oh, yeah. True. They're more teal. Well, maybe the sea is more teal. There are some teals in there in my collection.
Yeah. Talking like the bright.
I always feel like green and blue are the most naturey colors. I guess brown too.
Really? I'm going to challenge myself and try and make more natural looking blue earrings.
That's so funny. I always get frustrated about that because I think that blue and green look super funny together, unless they're like teal, aqua shades. But then forest and trees and grass is green and the sky is blue and they look great together. So maybe...
It's true. It's weird. Why are they...
I don't know. Like that bright sky blue... Other than on baby boys, where do you see that? But it looks great. We all love it. Yeah. Anyway, some food for thought. Yeah. Why don't we like research. Blue? What's the next question? I can't think about anything but blue.
So taking it back towards your guys' relationship and kind of your journey and your story, your proposal story is one that is very heavily influenced by the outdoors. So... Tell us about that. Tell us the proposal story, because it sounds beautiful.
Wow.
Maybe prepare you can inspire some young
grab a tissue.
I guess it starts with a bit of wood, actually, that I made the ring box out of. I thought, I'm going to propose to Mutsa soon, and I'm going to make a ring box out of just some wood that I found. So... I did that, and I was still waiting for this ring that I'd kind of commissioned to be made. And I was looking for, because I decided that I wanted to propose to Mutsa on a boat. So I was thinking in my head, okay, where could I, you know, take her on a rowing boat that would be like really nice? You know, I thought Stratford-upon-Avon is probably not going to sort of like awaken her heart. For some reason, that was the first place that I found, I thought.
No offense if you're from Stratford-upon-Avon, it just doesn't awaken my heart.
I think that was the place that I found. It probably is, but it was sort of a bit too, again, contained. So a little further away from where we lived, I thought the Lake District would be really great. So I planned this day around taking Mutsa out on a boat and proposing on the boat. And I rang up a few places and they didn't take boats out in the time that I wanted to, because it was sort of winter by this point. It was a bit
November,
of a risk.
Yeah.
It was November. And I rang them up and said, do you take your boats out? And everyone was saying no, until I got a yes from someone who, it was just great, because it was this beautiful lake called Derwent Water in Keswick. And we were to find out that it was going to be a beautiful lake anyway.
So you had not been, like, you hadn't been there. You were kind of just winging it.
No, this was a bit of a gamble.
I heard the Lake District is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's Dan-level planning.
Yeah. And by the way, this is from my perspective, so I'm kind of just, like, you know, telling the end from the beginning here, but...
yeah, you've got to start from the beginning.
From the beginning, what happened? You thought I was in... Telford, where you were?
No, I thought you were in Coventry.
Sorry.
So Dan was living in Coventry.
Good
at the
try,
time.
Dan.
yeah. No. Oh my gosh, Dan, come on. he was living in Coventry at the time, and I was in Telford living with my parents. Friday was going to be my day off work, so I was like, yes, I get to have a lie-in, and like put my phone off silent, turn my alarm off, and was just very excited to have this lie-in. But at like 6 a.m. in the morning, my dad comes into my room. So that's already strange. Like, that's not something he does often. he came into my room and was like, have you seen this, like my pen? Or like, he just asked me if I'd seen something he owned. And I was like, why on earth would it be here? I kind of just ignored it because I was sort of half asleep. He leaves and then comes back again like 5 minutes later and starts just like obviously trying to be like kind of loud and like rummaging through stuff in my room. At this point, I'm like, oh oh my gosh, my dad is having a mental breakdown. Like, is he okay? Like, what is going on? And basically, he just ended up realizing there was probably no way to get me to wake up other than just being like, Mutsa, wake up and check your phone. So I checked my phone and I had like 6 missed calls from Dan.
Yeah, your dad was a backup plan because my missed calls, I tried to call Mutsa thinking she'd just wake up. It was about 6 in the morning.
I wanted a lion.
You were hoping for a lion. I thought otherwise. I think I'd actually organised with your workplace to like give you the day off. And
wow.
I think that's how I kept the day free because it was a Friday. Anyway, it ended up I had to like get your dad involved. He helped.
So I saw the calls and I was like, what is going on? And stepped out of bed and I stood on like this package, and in the package was a brand new outfit, which was really beautiful. Mm. And Dan had like, I didn't know this, but Dan had organized with my best friend to like pick out a new outfit for me. Good choice. Because actually, I don't think you knew, but like my best friend Jess, me and her have this tradition of always buying each other new outfits for like birthdays or special events, and she's like someone who always knows exactly, she would buy what I would buy, if you know what I mean. So like it was perfect. And then there was
it would have been very funny had Dan picked out something.
If I had picked out
my goodness,
my boyfriend does my makeup videos or something like if I picked your outfit, it would just not really.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I trusted you.
We'd be off to a bad start. Yeah. I think you have good taste, but I don't know, I'm quite picky. So
I mean, there's a taste, line.
I definitely trust him more.
Yeah. So there was this little like letter, and you'd like done my name and like beautiful calligraphy, and there was a wax seal with a D for Dan. And there was a little note inside. Like, who is this?
Just
from?
In case you know.
There was a note inside that said, pack enough for one day and I'll see you at 9 a.m. Mm. Which is clever because, like, did you do it because you knew that I would like some level of preparation?
Yeah.
But I'm actually scared of surprises.
Mutsa doesn't like surprises. Mm. And I think, you know,
I love control.
If you'd have known that, like, a marriage was kind of on the cards for us, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we kind of knew the day was coming up soon. And I thought if you knew, you'd like me a bit more.
I had time to paint my nails, which is what mattered to me. to get that pick, you know, it's got to be done.
At least you had an inkling anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I turned up at 9 on the dot.
With some roses, which was really nice.
Some roses.
Yes. On the dot, Dan.
Wow.
It was. I know.
Dan
it's
James.
Unheard of. Unheard of.
I was going to say, that's probably the most impressive
Literally.
Part of this story so far.
I think before that day, I would never have been on the dot if not any more than, like, any less than 10 minutes.
I just want to say, I've always been so punctual. Like, I was known for being punctual since marrying Dan.
I've dragged you down with my.
It's gone so downhill.
Oh, no one's going to understand this. We've had quite a few hangouts planned with these two. As you know, we've got a tiny little baby that we need to get ready as well. And we somehow always manage to show up at the pre-decided time.
It's so disgraceful.
Anywhere from half an hour to 2 hours later. So they like to keep us guessing, don't they?
Our excuse is you. Like, it's, I blame.
Yeah, I take the blame. And I'm, you know, not a baby, so I really don't have an excuse.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
We don't have a baby. So anyway, yes, just as it happened.
He turned up on time.
I was punctual. And then we set off. I didn't really tell you where we were going.
I had no idea. And like, I'm someone who always tries to like guess things or like try and kind of ruin Dan's surprises. But I kind of felt like I probably should just not do that on this one occasion. Yeah. So we didn't. We somehow managed kind of like a 4-hour road trip without even talking about it or hinting at it at all, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I'd prepared a playlist, which I think that is another essential for our dates. If we are ever going on a road trip somewhere, it has to have a good soundtrack.
And Dan is like so pedantic to the level where he'll like sometimes plan the playlist so that it's the exact same length as our road trip journey.
Oh my goodness. Wow. So road trip has its own unique playlist.
Not every single one, but
some special occasion road trips that have still got their playlists on my phone somewhere,
which is quite nice. Like listening back to it, you kind of like are back in that moment, remembering
relive it.
And again, I think that influences us, you know, the outdoors and road trips influence us musically. But anyway, that we'll get to that. we set off and it was good about 3 or 4 hours, but we stopped halfway for a coffee and it wasn't one that we made. We went to a really nice coffee shop in Lancaster called Atkinson's, which were their own roastery. And
which, if you've never been to, definitely go. They like screen films there sometimes. Like they just project like films on the wall.
Yeah, projecting a film.
It's very different, very cool.
In the coffee shop. Yeah. It's a really nice place. And they had a lovely coffee, had lunch.
At which point I was there thinking like, I'm obviously like, oh, I feel like he might propose today. I'm like, I know we love coffee, but not this much. Like, is he going to propose in a coffee shop? Like, why?
Yeah. Shouldn't really be the main event there for that day. So we set off again. We started seeing signs for the lakes and then you were like,
Are
we going to the lakes?
Yeah.
I was like, maybe. and then we, bearing in mind that we started the journey and it was kind of cloudy, drizzly.
It was a terrible day, you guys. It miserable. Was very rainy. Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't November. Feel...
Yeah.
It was November, exactly. And, you know, this is why it was a little bit crazy, but I just... had the a piece that I needed and was just confident that, yeah, it'd be fine.
Well, you were like praying all day.
Literally.
Like, as you're driving. It's like, please.
But not in a panicked way. I was actually just enjoying the day. So that's a real blessing. Mm. And then we got to sort of like, we were arriving in the lakes in these hills and the sun was parting the clouds and it was amazing. Like even
that was beautiful because as we were like literally entering the lakes, we're just starting to see the hills, the clouds just parted and the rain stopped and like the sun was just streaming through. And we kind of just both looked at each other like, wow.
I
feel like you probably had like tears in your eyes at that point.
I actually did, yes. Yeah,
did it feel thankful. Like it was just for you?
Yeah,
it did. It was so special. And I feel it's sort of like, because it was for you, I felt like I was being spoiled in the process. So I was really glad to enjoy it as well.
Yeah. Guys.
Yeah. And then we arrived at a sort of, at the lake, Derwent Water. And...
At this point, I was like, I'd kind of tried to figure out what his plan was in my head. And I thought you were going to take me like on a walk up a hill and like propose sunset or something like that. And I was like, oh, classic Dan. He just hasn't thought about parking. So he's just trying to find parking at this boat
parked
place.
In his boatyard.
I'm like, Dan, you can't park here. You can only park here if you're going to rent a boat out. And then you were kind of just silent. I was like, what is he doing? What's going on? Why is he here?
And I had a word with people at the boat hire place who had already had a word with on the phone previously, and they gave us a boat to hire.
I feel like they gave us their best one as well.
It was a really nice boat. It was this lovely teal, like natural wood coloured rowing boat. And that's where you found out, oh, we're going on a boat. We're going on the lake.
So have you guys ever been on a boat before? Like, do you go boating?
Not together.
But Dan used to...
I was in a rowing club for a year.
Okay.
A few years ago.
It was his prep for this
so
day.
So clearly that was what... Oh, the only reason I was joining the boat club was for this day. I wish I could say. So I knew how to row, which was lucky. We got into this rowing boat and set off onto the lake, which was completely like glass still. And there was no one on there. And the weather had just... The sky was completely blue, wasn't it? But the sun was going down.
Sun was just setting. The sky was like, blue and orange. And we were the only people there because who takes a boat out in November in the lakes?
So why most of the lakes did not take boats out on them.
Yeah.
But we were so lucky to have this lake kind of all to ourselves.
I just want to say, I didn't know he was actually going to propose on the boat. I just thought this was part of the whole, like, the day.
No.
At this point, I'm not really expecting you to propose. But you did.
Did you
kneel on the boat then?
Yes.
We did. They are very surprisingly stable. It was very wide. It's quite a wide boat.
Yeah, it was, to be fair.
And I actually, because the bench is quite far apart, I had to get nearer to you anyway, so I got on my knee.
So was it an unintentional kneel?
Yeah.
Just stumbling forward.
This was after taking out a ukulele that I'd smuggled along and playing Mutsura a little song.
Wait. You smuggled a ukulele?
Why did you choose the word smuggle?
Oh, don't worry.
It was the coat you were wearing.
It was not a stolen ukulele. No, I had a bag. I had a bag. And actually one of my friends...
I just didn't notice that he had this ukulele like with him.
I don't think...
He had a very puffy coat, but I don't know what, like, I don't know how, but I didn't notice this ukulele.
Yeah, no. I brought it along secretly, borrowed it from a friend from Coventry, actually. It was a lovely ukulele.
I think you did have a big bag that you had other stuff in anyway.
Yes, I did have a bag, yeah. So I brought that out and... Obviously, I chose a ukulele because it's small and I could get away with it. Sang you a little song.
Which was lovely. Mm. I feel like when I hear stories like this, when someone sings a song, I'm like, ooh, cringe. Like, was that not cringe? Yeah. And it genuinely, like, it was just so special. It was really nice. And he'd, like, it was a song that already exists, but he changed some of the lyrics so they were specific to us, which
that, that is a lot coming from Mutsu because she cringes very easily.
I mean, it is that really classic, like, when everyone's singing you happy birthday, isn't it? You're just not really sure what to do. It's like, yeah. Do I stare at you the whole time? Do I get it. But I'm sure it was amazing. I'm sure it was very special.
And I think because of where we were, that also, like, as much as I love your singing, where we were and, like, just the song and everything, it just all was so overwhelmingly beautiful. It was it was amazing.
I felt overwhelmed again, because it was just so, like, I couldn't have planned this. It was just given to me and to you.
Yeah.
So that was such a, like, a miracle. I finished playing the song and then sort of, like, said a little speech and then got my wooden ring box out and proposed.
Yeah, and I had to, like, take a minute to look at the box before I, like, even opened it. It's amazing because he'd made it out of, like, a tree stump.
Wow.
That was really cool. Wow.
How could you say no?
And then
I literally couldn't say no because I was in the middle of a lake. So the only exit route would be to jump in. Yes.
So I wouldn't take no for an answer.
Smart plan. Obviously. Take that as a tip, guys.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Only one of us can row here.
And when we, like, were heading back, I didn't know that the boat hire people knew that you were going to propose. So they were kind of, like, just watching us the whole time. And I think they were expecting us to kind of, like, land and be like, woo, she said yes. But they weren't saying anything because I think they thought I'd said no because we just weren't saying anything about it. And then you eventually were like, she said yes.
Yeah, like, I remembered I'd told them on the phone because it was part of my desperate speech to all the boat people. Like, I want to propose to my girlfriend. Will you let me take a boat out? And they did say yes.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah, one of my favourite days, obviously.
Wow. It was a magical day.
Yeah.
That is so cool. What an awesome story.
Yeah, such a good story. Do you notice about their story, Nathan, that they were together the whole day?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it, really?
Isn't that nice that they got to share all of those memories together?
I don't think I would have been able to hold it together. I think I needed to send Monica on this wild goose chase to find me because I wouldn't have been able to hold it together.
But I didn't actually get to see you until, like, ours was all, it took four odd hours, and I only saw you in the last, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You also had the added challenge of, like, Monica having to hike and kind of work for it.
You gotta work for it.
Yeah.
I really had to work for it.
I made him rappel down a cliff.
He made me rappel down a cliff.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about our
problems.
Really? Oh, it sounds amazing, though. That's like an epic reveal right at the end of the journey.
It was very special. And I don't want people to think badly of you, so I'll just say that he planted, like, all our best friends along the way. And, all the spots I had ended up at were, like, beautiful date spots or meaningful places. So, yeah, it was amazing. Wow. And I just...
That's amazing.
Wow. I'm amazed at you, Mensa, for not asking any questions for a four-hour drive because at one point I had to do a 40-minute drive. And I don't think I was a constant stream of consciousness exiting my mouth to my sister, just wondering. And yeah, no, I was an anxious, chatty mess, I think. But hey ho, that's me. Amazing. So, right. So, you did a lot of walking in your dating relationship and a lot of coffee drinking. And then you proposed in a boat. Oh, beautiful.
So we've heard a little bit there then, I guess, about how, you know, the things that you did in your dating life, sort of the epicness that was the proposal. And I mean, how does that translate to the things that you're doing now? I mean, is it sort of more of the same? Are you able to kind of enjoy it in maybe a different way? I've been seeing something much so that you got a wetsuit now, and that's sort of making an appearance sometimes when you head out into the hills. So what are some of the adventures that you guys are getting up to at the moment?
So it's kind of evolved as lockdown and the restrictions have like changed. Mm. It obviously just a lot of walks when lockdown was in its peak.
Mm. Lots of walks.
And then last summer, we started doing a few more wild dips, and you guys told us about this really beautiful spot that we became obsessed with.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we went there and made coffee there. Of course, coffee kept making the room to make coffee there. I'm the type of person that cannot even take a cold shower. So the fact that I got into like swimming in cold water is just insane to me, but I think maybe that's what lockdown did to us. It's like our main source of adventure. I would also just like to add that I'm not even a strong swimmer, so I mainly like to just be in the shallow bits. As long as I'm in a large body of water in some capacity and the majority of my body is under, then I'm happy.
Yeah, that's a must for Mutsu, which is definitely why I chose that for the proposal, I think.
Yeah, on a lake. Yeah.
Lockdown has been restricting in that sense, but I think we would have gone out of the country more by now. I feel like
we've literally
been out of the country apart from Wales once.
Technically, yes.
Since we got married. Because it was because it was straight into lockdown.
Yeah, we were married for 4 months and had all these, like, we were going to go on like a Icelandic road trip, but none of that has been possible. So none of that. Oh, one thing we've gotten like more into, I'd say, is camping. Yeah. We got into it like hypothetically in lockdown. Yeah. And then as soon as like the 12th of April hit, we were like, we have to actually go out now.
Yeah.
I think we both had similar experiences of camping when we were younger, just not finding it that fun because it wasn't really in like very fun places.
Again, for me it was just like campsites, which wasn't very interesting, I think, and compared to now where you can sort of like find a lot of amazing places to go.
So wild camping is one of our new things that we want to keep doing a bit more, although it's kind of not allowed.
Frowned upon.
Yeah, but as long as you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, say like, I don't know, in the hills in the Peak District, something
and leave
like
no
that.
Trace.
Leave no trace.
Fine.
Yep. Then you're
as long as
fine.
There's no one there to catch you. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. Yeah.
We've been lucky so far.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to do, really, because. I mean, like you say, you go into these less populated areas, but everywhere is still some sort of farm, or the land is all owned by somebody. It is challenging.
I was very shocked the first time we went into the Peak District because everyone talked about it like this wild place and all the way out there, national park. And it doesn't matter what hill we climbed and how far you go. When you get to the top, you can see village or a couple farms or a town. Like, there's no wilderness.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You feel like you're suddenly bound.
Yeah, we have to like pick.
What a word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you like guys like the forest. You can pretend there's no.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's always an aim of ours on any date that we go on to find the quietest spot and like where you feel like you're the only people there.
I think that's why we love the escape to, you know, films like Walter Mitty, because when you watch a film, you're kind of like opening in the part of your heart, which is like bigger than your everyday life.
Yeah, and bigger suddenly than your city life.
Yeah, it's something bigger. I think that's the aim when we go to these places.
Cool.
So before you ask, I know what you're going to ask, but I want both of you, I guess. So imagine that there's this young guy who likes this girl and she loves the outdoors and he wants to impress her and so he wants to plan a date outside. What is your advice? What is the best outdoor date idea, and what would someone need to execute it?
Well, I mean, again, my go-tos are finding a beautiful spot of nature
with a large body of water.
Thinking
lake with woodlands around it.
And I mean, if you like coffee, then then that is one of my most.
Or tea, like you could take
a flask of tea. I center it around a lovely outdoor meal. We again have a little stove and pocket rocket stove that we sort of bring to the outdoors. We either make coffee on it or, you know, have a little picnic or heat up something. That we've made
something
already.
Warm is always nice, especially like if you're in England, then something warm is always appreciated for sure. I'd say, yeah, I love the idea of like a meal, because a meal is something that you do inside anyway, but like it's, yeah, it's fun when you're outside. And if it's raining, which it probably will be in England, and another good thing you can do, well, certainly in the kind of car we have, is just like sit in the back of your car, like open the boot and like go to like a lookout spot and eat from your car. Nice.
Yeah, that nice works. Rain cover.
Yeah.
And my other advice would be take a risk. I don't know what that looks like, but definitely worth it.
Screw the weather report. Just go anyway.
Because risk is romantic.
Well, every time. Yes, but we've lived to regret that one.
No, you've lived to regret that.
I've lived to regret that.
Don't risk too much.
But I love that. I think it's true. Taking like warm food outside is very impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't do a lot of cooking outside growing up, because we had a massive yard and you didn't need to really go out. So we just would barbecue and then picnic. But when Nate and I went on our first date? We went snowshoeing up a big hill and it was cold and very snowy. And when we got to the top, you pulled a stove out of your backpack and made like hot chocolate. Mm. And I was very impressed.
It just elevates whatever you're doing when you have something warm. Like, and I think as well, like when it's made fresh there. So whether it is your coffee, your hot chocolate, or your meals.
I was just impressed that you hiked a stove up as well. Like I had a little backpack with a few snacks and a water bottle. And you're like, no, look at this.
That's where stove technology is so good. It doesn't need to be big these days.
No, it doesn't.
What are your favourite things to make, like food-wise?
There's favorite and then there's like what's easy and lightweight. So I feel like pasta
we've done
pasta with like chorizo and some like vegetables.
Chorizo is such a good outdoor backcountry food, isn't it? Because it doesn't need to be kept cool in quite the same way. I love chorizo.
Totally.
I think my favorite that we've done is we pre-prepared a Thai red curry noodle soup.
We just love that anyway at home.
Yeah,
which we have at home, but it's a kind of soup and it works for just heating up and then
I feel like because it's spicy when you're cold, like having something that's got a bit of a kick to it.
That's such a winner.
It really helps to warm you up.
Awesome, cool. Well, I think there's only one more thing that I really want to hear about, and is kind of coming back to the creative side here. So you mentioned about pulling out a ukulele on Derwent Water and kind of having rewritten that one song, Dan, and you guys are in the process, aren't you, of sort of recording and releasing a little bit more music that you have from your past. So how is your music inspired by the outdoors, and sort of where does that kind of fall into it for you?
Good question.
That is a good question. I think my instinct is to create something that kind of reflects what you're looking at. So
something emotive, I think, is really big for us. Yeah. We love to like make people feel stuff.
Yeah. I love big sounds and I love especially like specifically soundtracks. I could just like listen to soundtracks all day.
Yeah. Like we said, the Walter Mitty soundtrack is something that we really bonded over.
Yeah.
And we particularly obsessed with Jose Gonzalez, who's, I think indie folk is the genre, which is something that we love. It's
Do you guys want to hear something really funny about that? I made a playlist. I had a home birth and I made myself a playlist for labor. And that was on my playlist for when I started pushing.
Oh no.
Yeah, because it's so inspired and it's like makes you just wanna
push it.
Maybe
push up. Open your vagina.
I don't know. I just thought it was perfect. I don't know if we actually made it because my playlist was too long, but it worked, an inspiring song.
Yeah. I feel like that kind of music for us is like the most inspiring.
Folk music in general is very stripped back, very raw, very like natural. I mean, like a lot of the American folk music was like made in the Appalachian Mountains, that kind of vibe. So I feel like it just invokes nature-y vibes.
Yeah, and I love film scores, you know, like that really are massive sounds that are kind of like floaty and ambient, that just sort of like, again, it kind of reflects a sort of wild journey where you have no agenda, you're slowing down, and you can kind of like just see all the hugeness of nature around you when you go somewhere really nice.
Yeah, so the challenge for us is to kind of capture that vibe.
Recreate that. And
we're often inspired after like going out on a walk, when we come home and we're like, okay, let's make something, let's tap into how we were feeling and kind of try and recreate that feeling.
Yeah, I love the idea of creating something that you would enjoy listening to and looking at an amazing view, or actually road tripping to. Like, road trip music is an aspiration.
Yeah.
Because we all want to just be in a film.
That's really the goal.
Like a soundtrack for it.
Yeah. A soundtrack to the film that is on ice.
I can just imagine you guys as the angsty teenagers who would like sit in the back seat of the car when it's raining and like do the like the arm up on the sill and look out and
that was
pretend
you.
You're in a music video.
I literally have done that so many times, it's embarrassing.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that when you say, you know, you have that feeling when you're outside, and then you want to recapture that feeling and that vision, that view almost in a song. I think that's such a cool vision and a cool goal, and I'm sure not easy at all, but you guys pull it off very well.
No, well, yeah, it's not easy. No.
Yeah, but it is in some ways easy when you just kind of like absorb it by looking at it, by being in it. Like, you can sort of channel it.
That sounds so creepy.
Really good now,
but... Wow.
I wouldn't say creepy. Like, it doesn't sound creepy. It sounds very artistic.
Yeah.
Artistic. Yeah. I would just nod and be like, yes, Dan, okay.
Sure.
Channel it. Just channel it. And then maybe a few years of musical theory behind you as well. Maybe that would be useful too.
Yeah. That would help. You're actually, yeah. I didn't. I forgot that.
Sit in the forest.
Yeah. I feel like it is such a lofty goal, because we're trying to like capture a feeling that we maybe can't even always describe in words. And so a lot of the time, like in one of the songs that we recently released here in the fire, it'd be a process of like me just saying like adjectives or like words to Dan, and then he'll do like a riff on guitar, and I'm like, no, it needs to feel more like more emotional, or like it needs to feel like you're just like driving through the hills or something like that, and like he'd keep playing, like this is literally how we do it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
he'd keep doing stuff until I'm like, okay, I'm feeling it, that's the vibe. And we go from there.
Yeah.
Not the most conventional process.
That's cool.
How like a lot of good soundtrack writers might, you know, they would. How does it make me feel?
What would be interesting would be to see if other people are getting kind of the same feeling that we're wanting them to feel when we're making it. That'd be cool to see how other people feel.
I have to make more music.
Yeah.
Well, like you say, not conventional way of doing it, but probably a more like honest way of doing it. Like, you know, you're searching after that feeling and that emotion, and just like and really make, you know, being critical and making sure that the notes that you're playing reflects that feeling that you want. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, well, we like to hope so.
All right, so people think that you guys are super cool now that they've heard you on our podcast.
Don't believe the hype.
I want to listen to some of this very inspired, unconventionally made music.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
Well, there's a lot of things here that, so we want to need to know, I guess, yeah, music. How can we find your music? How can we find your earrings, Mutsa?
And how can we find your lamps, Dan?
Oh, lamps is TBC.
To be continued.
I mean, yeah.
That's
not
a good prompt, you guys. I really want Dan to start doing more woodwork. And
maybe I'll take that.
Merge businesses, Dan. Hint, hint.
Okay. I see where we're going.
But for music, what's our Instagram? Dan and Mutsa?
At Dan and Mutsa.
Very wild
very
name. How will we
inventive
remember?
I know. So creative.
Yeah. And it was kind of launched only a couple of months ago, so it's not, I'm obviously at this point that you're listening, there may not be loads,
but there's stuff there.
We
hope to keep creating.
Go
for
check
sure
it out. Yeah, that's the vision. And your earrings.
YouTube Dan and Mutsa as well, but anyway, it's all there on Instagram, and earrings at the Kindred Workshop, find me there. Buy my earrings.
And that's just Instagram, isn't it? As well.
Yes, yeah. Earrings is just Instagram for now, but watch this space.
Watch this space.
Awesome.
Exciting.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely link those in the show notes as well, so anyone who's listening can find them there. But I think that brings us to an end. So Dan and Mutsa, thank you so much, guys. It's been awesome having a chat with you this evening. I've really enjoyed it. I think I've laughed more on this podcast episode than I have on any other. Hopefully it makes sense. Listening back to it.
We like these guys. They're a good time.
Yeah.
Glad we love you guys.
So
thank you for having us.
You are inspired by their story. If romance and the outdoors is any way related to your story, do get in touch with us. You can email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com. If there's anything else that you want to tell us about or you think you'd be a good guest, please get in touch with us as well. You can follow us on Instagram at picnicclimbers, and we look forward to hearing from you in the near future.
Yep. That's all for today.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
If you enjoyed listening along, be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes.
If you want to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers or email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com.
Until next time, Picnic Climbers.